Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East. The very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
The history of Persia is intertwined with conquest. It began with conquest when Cyrus, king of a small city called Anshan, set out to build the greatest empire the world had ever seen. In a series of stunning campaigns, he achieved just that, becoming one of the greatest conquerors in history and basically started Persian history. After all, you don't get the title the Great for nothing. But he wouldn't be the last great Persian conqueror. Other Persian rulers like Darius the Great, Mithridates I, and Ardashir I would go on to become great conquerors on their own, establishing their own great empires and legacies. If you want to hear their story, and the stories of other great conquerors, many of whom are far less famous despite their great achievements, join me, Ramzi Shalah, on my podcast, The Conquerors Podcast, available on all platforms you listen through.
Gamarjoba, and welcome to the history of Saakashvili, Georgia. I'm your host, Roberto, and today we're going to learn about the Prometheus Caves in Georgia. I learned about these beautiful cave networks while at the Shoddy Bread House Georgian restaurant in Fairlawn, New Jersey, and was mesmerized by the pictures there. So when I went to Georgia this past May, I knew I had to go see them. While I was there, I met our guest today, Nino Lolomadze. So Nino, can you please introduce yourself to the podcast? Who are you and what do you do?
Hello, I am Nino Lolomadze. I'm from Georgia, living in Skaltupo in a small town, and I work in Prometheus Cave, which is located in Moreto region. It's quite a great sightseeing, like must-see place in Georgia.
And can you tell us where the Prometheus Caves are located exactly?
Yeah, the Prometheus Cave is located in Imereti region, near small town Skaltupo, like 6 kilometers far, in western part of Georgia.
And then Saakashvili, I remember seeing it when I was going around to get to the Prometheus Caves. So can you tell me a bit more about the town itself?
Skaltupo is a small green town near Kutaisi, and it's actually quite easy to get there because transports are working. They have their schedule, but to get to Prometheus Cave, it's a bit harder, so you have to take a taxi.
Yes, and Skaltupo is a very beautiful place too, so I enjoyed going around it. So to learn a bit more about the caves, can you tell us who discovered the caves and when were they discovered?
The Prometheus Cave Natural Monument was discovered by Georgian speleologists. It was led by Jumbergish Ariani and consisted of the 5-man expedition, Tamas Kobulashvili, Amiran Jamrishvili, Vakhtang Kapanadze, and Koten Izharadze. They started exploring in early 80s. In 82, they started exploring, and in 84, they officially discovered the place.
And how were they discovered? How did this group of archaeontologists discover it?
To be honest, locals always knew about the caves in Mereti region, like we knew about Satapliya, Liana, and other nearby caves, but not particularly about Qumistawi, like Prometheus Cave. When a government got interested in finding such caves in this region, they actually wanted to use as a shelter in case of nuclear war. You know, Georgia was part of Soviet Union at the time. They sent 5-man expedition, and the locals gave them the direction they had to go. The locals knew about the small entrance, like 50 kilometers long, quite narrow, 50 meters long, the expedition has equipment, experience to get there and explore the whole cave, not only the small entrance. So they were quite excited when they find out that the small narrow entrance led them to the huge cave. They were so glad that the first stalagmite they saw are named Stalagmite of Victory.
Oh, so that's why it was named that. That's really cool. And how were these caves formed?
Actually, it's a karst cave. It was formed because of underground water circulation in a limestone. So there used to flow a river before, so to say. That's why we have the whole system of caves. Like, it's more than 30 kilometers. We're still exploring. And those caves are all connected to each other by rivers. But the river only changed its direction, so it goes the other way. We can see only on the deepest part, 80 meters below the surface. In the upper part of the cave, we can't see the river anymore.
That's very interesting. So the river cannot be seen anymore in the upper part of the cave?
Yeah, only on the deepest part.
And then, was there any evidence that the caves were inhabited by people before?
Well, not particularly this cave. You know, ancient people were quite smart. They used to choose place which was safe for them, with entrance, so which had direct sunlight in the morning. And this cave was frequently flooded. Like, even now, a few times in a year, the whole cave is flooded. But they chose different caves in this region, like Tetra Cave, which was inhabited 30,000 years ago. We have found more than 15,000 artifacts. Also, we have Satrublia Cave, where people used to live 13,000 years ago. Satrublia is quite interesting because scientists have discovered a previously missing piece of European lineage after successfully analyzing remains of two ancient individuals found in Western Georgia. It's actually the missing part of DNA hunter-gatherers, which immigrated later in Europe. Like, they immigrated 5,000 years ago in Europe.
Oh, that's really cool. So essentially, there's other caves around the region that were inhabited, but the Prometheus cave would not, because of all the flooding.
Might be that we are living there, but we have not discovered anything yet. Who knows? But anyway, other caves are more like historically important than Prometheus cave, but Prometheus is the most beautiful one.
And then a very important question. Why are they called the Prometheus caves? I know I asked you this one when we met.
That's a very nice question. But, you know, there's no real connection. But Prometheus was turned on a Caucasus mountain in a cave, but not in the Prometheus cave. It's just, at first they named it Umistawi Tsqaltubo cave, which is quite hard to pronounce. Like, can you pronounce Tsqaltubo?
Altubo?
For marketing reasons, it wasn't suitable. Actually, it was one man decision that they named it Prometheus cave. By the way, there can be some associations, because Prometheus is symbol of progress of humanity, like fire. And in nearby cave, we have found places people used to light a fire and make some rituals around the fire, like ancient people. So there can be some associations, but not direct ones.
Okay, so it's just more so to make it easier for people to say who are visiting.
Yeah, for me, I would name it Agartha, like ancient underground city.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, because it's just a massive cave system. I remember walking in and then realizing that everything just became really big. Because there's just like this narrow entrance, and then just becomes, you enter one of the rooms and it's just massive. And I was like, wow, that's really beautiful. And it was very humid inside too.
Indiana Jones would be impressed to see this cave. I think he would just make some movies about this one.
Yeah, I would love to see some sort of ancient Georgian artifact located in one of the rooms in this cave under the water or something. I think it was that would be very interesting. How many rooms are in the caves that we've found so far?
Actually, there are 17 rooms in this cave, but only 6 of them are open to tourists, because it is easier to make path in those 6 holes. And actually, it's more big and more impressive, but we have also different halls, like alpinists, which I had been a few years ago, and it was quite hard to get there. Like, we need special equipment to go there. I was basically crawling to go there.
Oh, I would not fit in those spaces. That I'm a big person.
No, it's easy for everyone.
Well, I meant for like the smaller, the one where you need special equipment, not the big halls. So this may be a bit of a longer question, but for the main halls that the tourists can go through, what are they named and why were they given that name?
Also, the names are not connected to the cave. Actually, the first hall is Argonaut's Hall, the second one, Medea, the Hall of Love, Hall of Prometheus, and Hall of Iberia. Iberia is the same as Sakartvelo, it's just ancient name of Sakartvelo. As regards the legend of Argonauts, it's not connected to the cave. The Medea was princess of Kingdom of Kolchetia. It's ancient kingdom of Georgia, and it's a Greek mythology. According to the Greek mythology, she helped the Greek guy to steal our treasure, like golden fleece from Georgia, and die with him. We have more good image of Medea because basically she was the goddess of medicine for us. Some scientists even say the word medicine stems from the Medea. Actually, the names are not connected to the cave, just symbolic ones, like random names, I think.
Hello and bonjour. My name is Josh Zucker, and I want to take you on a journey through some of the most exciting events of the late Middle Ages. Valois Burgundy was one of the medieval world's greatest what-ifs. Its dukes inherited, conquered, and politicked their way into forging a state between the German Empire and the Kingdom of France that rivaled them both. From the Hundred Years' War to the Holy Roman Empire, from urban workers to Joan of Arc, and from gallant knights to gunpowder weapons, the Grand Dukes of the West had a part to play in almost all of Western Europe's biggest developments in the 14th and 15th centuries. If you want to learn more about the glamorous rise and dramatic fall of the Dukes of Burgundy, please join me for Grand Dukes of the West, A History of Valois Burgundy.
Hello, everybody. This is Trevor Cully, host of the History of Persia podcast. From about 550 to 330 BC, most of the Middle East was ruled by the Achaemenid Persians. The Achaemenids pioneered the concept of a truly multinational empire, which incorporated people from as far away as India and Greece for over 200 years. The story of Persia discusses the fall of ancient civilizations, the origins of endurance racing, 300 Spartans, the March of the 10,000, and at least one evil priest who replaced and impersonated the king, all before falling with the dramatic close at Alexander the Great's conquests. If that story, and the story of the cultures that surround it, sound interesting to you, check out The History of Persia at historyofpersiapodcast.com, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Okay, and I remember the Hall of Love, that one had a bit more of a connection to the room because of some sort of gems that are in there?
No, some profiles are there which are looking at each other. It's like frozen faces looking at each other. That's why I named it Hall of Love. And some people actually get married there. They go there with white dress. It's crazy. It sounds crazy because all of these old steps and it's hard to go in the Hall of Love. And also we have lots of proposals there. It's
oh wow!
Quite interesting place.
It's the Hall of Love is a very romantic place for the Prometheus caves then.
And the most beautiful hall of this cave.
Okay. Yes, I remember you turned on the lights and it's just like everything was really beautiful and like reflecting, and you had like the red on the two profiles there. It was really nice to see. I think I took some pictures of that.
Well, you have a good memory.
It was a very nice time, so I enjoyed it. And then, what do the locals have to say about the caves? Or is it something that they visit often, or is it just more of a tourist center for people coming from outside the region, or something else?
Oh, locals, they're used to those caves. Like, they knew about those cave system a long time ago, and actually they were like, it's a cool place, can we have a barbecue there? Like, it was quite usual place for them, not really interesting and amazing place. So they did not realize until a tourist started visiting this place, and they were like, oh, it's a treasure of our region.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the as I'm very much aware because of where I live, when people come here for our, because we have a cave network here as where I live as well. And, you know, the locals are like, oh, yeah, we have that. But it's always a tourist that come in. It's like, oh, this is really cool. And then the locals say, oh, yes, this is really nice, isn't it? So it's a similar situation, I think, where the tourists bring more attention to it and then the locals enjoy it. But because they see it every day, it's they tend to not think about it so much.
As a local who grew up in this village, like nearby the cave, as a child, it was a really nice and mysterious place. I was always hoping to get there, enter the place, explore everything, but it was darkness, silence, some bats were flying around. So it was not quite easy to go there.
And now you're in there every day, basically.
Yeah. It's quite cool place to walk.
Mm-hmm. And how far is the entrance to the cave to the exit of the cave for the tourists?
It's 1,420 meters walking tour, but tourists also get another ticket for additional boat trip, which is 400 meters long. Like,
yes.
Like the 1,420 meters is walking tour, but it's not like you can visit that place only by boat. You should walk this distance to get to the boat trip.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I did the boat trip, and that was very interesting as well. It was nice just being able to see how the river kept going and went through the cave. And then how often do you have a walking tour? Because that's a very important question, too.
For me personally, how often I do these tours every day?
Yes.
Me, 4 or 5 times a day. In a lucky day, 3.
So for the people who haven't been to the cave, it's very much it's not a straight walk. You're going up and down stairs and everything. So Nino's very good at this.
Don't scare them. The air is cool. It's 14 degrees and it's like beautiful place.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I'm just saying it's a nice walk that, you know, you have to go up and down the stairs. So, I mean, I could do it and I had a lot of fun. And I remember you stopped, you talked about everything. And he was able to talk, just talking about the caves and how they were. And basically, you had a great way to explain the caves. And you answered all my questions while I was there, too. So that was really fun.
Thanks. I'm trying not to show people that it's my usual routine. And I'm trying to tell them that it's a great place. And they're introduced with the best site.
Yes, I recommend everyone visit the Prometheus Caves. It is wonderful. Sarskubo is a beautiful place. You can, and you know, as I always like to say, the Georgians are the best people to be friends with because they're the friendliest. They're always happy to help. And any questions you have, they will help you with immediately.
They will also offer you some chacha or some red wine.
Oh, yes. When I first arrived to the Prometheus Caves, there was a taxi driver who was sitting outside and he's like, hey, I made some country wine, would you like to try some? And I was like, sure, I'll try some. And then he brings out this water bottle filled with wine and he serves it and he handed it to me and he's like, do you want to buy the wine? And I'm like, no, I can't drink too much wine. But he kept offering me more and more and I said, no, I have to stop, I'm about to walk through the caves. So it's a very true story.
Wine is very sacred for Georgians.
No, very much so. I always keep a bottle of Georgian wine in my house. So I think I still have 3 bottles that I brought back from Georgia.
It's not only about the alcohol, it's about the history of Georgia. Mm-hmm. And actually, Georgia is mother country of wine.
Yes, and that's and I only bring it out when I want to share with people and explain to them more about Georgia too. Because for me, it's, you know, the same way that the Georgians share their love and their history and their culture, I want to do the same when I'm with my friends so they can learn more about your wonderful country.
It was just really unexpected when I saw the Georgia's map tattoo.
Oh, you remember? Yes, I have for those who don't know, I have a Georgian map tattoo with the flag and Sakartvelo in Georgian beneath it. So yes, that is my love for your country is with me forever. But yes, so Nino, if people want to get more information about the caves or visit, how do you recommend that they do that?
You should try the site Uruji, where you can book online tickets. But I would recommend you not to book boat tickets because sometimes water level is high and it doesn't work. To get there, you just travel from Kutaisi to Tsukaltobo, then take a taxi from Tsukaltobo to Promisieskaya.
Perfect. Yeah, so that's essentially what I did. I can also give you some tips on how to get there. So if anybody wants to visit the Prometheus Caves, go to the website. Maybe you'll have Nino as your tour guide. She, as I said, she's amazing, and I'm sure that all the other tour guides do just as fantastic of a job as Nino does. So Nino, I want to thank you so much for doing this with me today. I know that it is a bit late in Georgia right now. So thank you for taking the time and setting this up with me. I was very happy when you agreed to do this when I asked you in person, because I've been wanting to make an episode on the Prometheus Caves for a long time, and you made this so much easier for me.
Thanks for your invitation on this podcast, because this is my first podcast in my life, and I was happy to do it.
Well, thank you so much. So I want to tell everyone, thank you so much for listening today. And that's a Madloba da Nakfundis, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Madloba.
Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East. The very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
The history of Persia is intertwined with conquest. It began with conquest when Cyrus, king of a small city called Anshan, set out to build the greatest empire the world had ever seen. In a series of stunning campaigns, he achieved just that, becoming one of the greatest conquerors in history, and basically started Persian history. After all, you don't get the title the Great for nothing. But he wouldn't be the last great Persian conqueror. Other Persian rulers like Darius the Great, Mithridates I, and Ardashir I would go on to become great conquerors on their own, establishing their own great empires and legacies. If you want to hear their story, and the stories of other great conquerors, many of whom are far less famous despite their great achievements, join me, Ramzi Shalah, on my podcast, The Conquerors Podcast, available on all platforms you listen through.